This is all a bit strange for me. This is the first time I've actually done this live, and it's really nice because I haven't got to record or re-record and re-record and re-record until I've got it right. So it's great, and it's lovely to have a bit of reaction. There's nothing worse than talking to yourself.
Amen.
So anyway, I hope, well, it's difficult this year. I was going to say, I hope you all had lovely Christmases, but I know it's been a very different Christmas for all of us, but I hope we were all able to make the best of what we could for Christmas. And actually, for me, it was a lot quieter, but it gave me more time to sort of reflect on the true meaning of Christmas.
All right.
And, normally it's taken up with, well, telly and food and wine and telly and food and wine. But it gave me just that bit of breathing space to actually really center myself and really concentrate on the Lord. And I hope you all had the chance to do that as well. So let's begin by singing together. Now, I'm a bit of a traditionalist at Christmas time. Yeah, I thought I'd start off just with one last carol, as it's, well, sort of just gone Christmas. One last carol to see the Christmas out. And this is Once in Royal David City, led by the choir of King's College in Cambridge. One of my favourite versions of this carol. I'm really sorry I couldn't find a version with words, but I'm sure most of us know the words. And if not, just sit back and enjoy it. Thank you, Andy. Lord, we thank you for this time of year. And although things have been quite different for all of us this year, I pray that each of us will have been able to spend more time with you, concentrating on you, communing with you, remembering why we celebrate Christmas. And Lord, also, it's a time of looking back, reflecting on the year, on Christmas's past, and as we all move into in a short while into a time of reflection and thanksgiving, I pray that we'll all be reminded of your absolute and ultimate wonderful goodness to all, as we think back to the year it's been, and maybe as individuals to the way you've blessed us, not just this year, but in previous times as well. And as a fellowship, I just pray that we will really know and see how you have blessed us throughout what has been an unconventional year. But thank you, Lord, that to you, this wasn't a surprise. To you, this year and everything that's happened, wasn't a surprise. It was part of your plan. And Lord, help us to see you through everything that has happened and that will happen. Amen. So, as I said in our prayer, we're going to have, I'll give you a little reminder of what this morning's service is all about. So, we're going to go into a time of thanksgiving just now. And then after that, we'll have some songs, reading, and a message from Chris. And then, going into a time of communion after Chris's message. So hope you've got your wine and bread, or in my case, cracker handy for the communion later on. But if not, there'll be time for you to nip out while you're still listening to the songs or singing along to the songs. So let's move into a time of thanksgiving. There's three groups of people, if you like, that have already said they'd like to contribute. Graham and Sue, Sally, and myself and James. And then Chris has put together a PowerPoint, look back over church times, if you like, during 2020. And then after that, we thought it would be really good to open it up to anyone who'd like to share spontaneous testimony, open prayer. Just to give thanks to God or to share something with us, that would be great. So, let's hear from Graham and Sue now.
Okay, can you hear us?
No.
Yes, we can. Yes.
Hear you.
Yes.
Well, I'll start off. So, the beginning of this year, we were still living in Southampton. We were surrounded by boxes, all packed up and ready to go, but there was no going happening, and it was all really frustrating. The whole moving experience had seemed like an obstacle race from beginning to end. And so many times I remember feeling like Moses must have felt going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." I just felt it was getting on top of me, really. And at that time, we used to be part of an intercessors group that met on a Thursday morning. And one morning we were there, and the lady leading it decided to play a hymn. And it was "Be Still, My Soul." And as I was listening to that hymn, the Lord really started speaking to me. And when I got home, I decided I would get that song up on YouTube, and I just sat listening and actually weeping through it, because it was just, God was just reminding me that he is faithful. Even though circumstances seem to be against us, he was still there in it all. So I'd just like to read that first verse that really spoke to me. "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end." And of course, God did lead us to our joyful end, and he was faithful. It really has been joyful for us living here, despite all the strange times that have happened. But we've really enjoyed living in our new home and being in the village and being part of the church and, of course, being near the family. So I'd just like to thank God for his faithfulness and also for bringing me to that point of accepting that his will is our perfect will. Over to you.
Thank you. So back to the beginning of this year, we were still struggling our way through the various obstacles that Sue's mentioned, obstacles in the moving process. But we were sure God was directing us to move, and in particular to Burwell. On New Year's Eve, I used to read things from Word for Today, and I read these verses from Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. "The Lord said to me, 'You've made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north.'" So I kind of thought about this a couple of days later, and I realised that Hampshire had been our hill country in the deep south, and now we were turning north to East Cambridgeshire. And to me, this was like a final confirmation of our move. And we never really doubted that God had directing us to move, but it's always lovely when he gives confirmation, isn't it? It was a great encouragement to us to be able to share things with you for prayer during the time that we were struggling through these various obstacles, and you prayed for us on Monday evenings, and we really appreciated that. And as we all prayed, the obstacles were one by one overcome, and we finally moved on a clear sunny day on the 14th of February. And it was in the middle of an otherwise very wet month. So the Lord was so good to us in providing that special day for our moving to Burwell. And we found that God does keep his promises. We were welcomed by the church on our first Sunday after moving. And then we had a clear month to meet with you and also to get to know the village before the first lockdown came. Zoom services and chat times helped us to feel part of the church and to begin getting to know you all. Also, we were encouraged by being welcomed into church membership. We found the church's prayer weekend a very special time. The sunflower seeds we planted at the expectation station surprised us by producing a flower in December. And this reminded us that we should expect the unexpected. And that if we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit even in adverse conditions. And that if we persevere, we will find that God does keep his promises. And actually, this really summarizes our year. It was unexpected that God should lead us to move from Southampton to be near Tim and family in Cambridgeshire. It was unexpected that we should move to a village in the country. Unexpected that we should find a lively, spirit-filled church in the village. And unexpected that having moved to be near our family, we should now be so limited in how much we can actually see them. But all the way, we found that God does keep his promises. So we'd like to thank you as a fellowship for your fellowship with and your support for us. And also for inviting us to contribute to the video recorded services. It's all helped to ensure that we remain in Jesus and hopefully bear some fruit through what might otherwise have been a lonely year. So we really want to thank God and to say thank you to you, all you dear folk as well.
Thank you, Sue and Graham. That was lovely. Let's maybe one or two people would like to just pray for Sue and Graham and the family now. They were sharing with us earlier that their son and daughter-in-law and two of the children have all tested positive for COVID. The results of the test came through on Christmas Day, so not such a nice Christmas present for them. So let's just perhaps one or two people just pray for them now.
Father, thank you that you care for families, and as Karen said, nothing surprises you, Lord. And we ask your protection and healing on Graham and Sue's family, Lord. Father, we pray that you'll keep fear and worry at bay, Lord, particularly in the children. Father, that you will cause this illness to pass over quickly, Lord, like the angel passed over the people protected by your blood, Lord, in ancient times, Lord. We pray for quick restoration, Lord, and that there won't be any complications left, Lord, in its wake, and that also they'll be able to experience something of your joy, Lord, over the Christmas holidays, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We give thanks, Lord, that you brought Graham and Sue to us, and we thank you for the encouragement that they brought to us. We thank you that they perhaps thought they were coming, that their children might be able to help them, but now they're able to help their children. We thank you, Lord, that you have put them in the right place at the right time. Amen.
Thank you. Sally has got something she'd like to bring to us now.
Okay, well, I guess this year really has been a time of certainty and a time of challenge for all of us. But throughout it all, we've had that secure and certain knowledge that the Lord has been with each and every one of us and taken us through the whole thing of it. So there are many, many things that I could give thanks to the Lord for during this year. But I think probably out of all of it, there are three things that stand out for me more than anything else. So I thought I'd just briefly give thanks today for them. I think first and foremost, in our family, we were blessed to be given another granddaughter in June of this year, Molly. And although she's an academic baby, and we didn't hold her till she was 3 weeks old, and we had to have gloves and masks on when we did that. And we've only seen her intermittently ever since. She's been a real blessing to her parents and to us. You know, they waited 5 years for her, and she probably will be their baby, their only baby. So we're very grateful for that blessing of Molly. Secondly, reflections. It's just such an amazing thing. I cherish each one of the ladies and two gentlemen in my heart and in my mind, but I've trusted them to the Lord's. We've trusted them as a church family to the Lord's keeping, and we're just so grateful that he's brought everybody through that, through this time safely. But whilst we are giving thanks, we want to give thanks also for Margaret Morley, because Margaret Morley did go to be with the Lord in October of this year, so she's very safely home with him now. And we do give thanks for her life and her time in reflection. She was really encouraging to others, and she brought a friend newly to reflection. So we're grateful to her for her long chats and her enthusiasm. And we're just grateful that, you know, everybody from reflections, all 37 of us now, have come safely through this time, thanks to the Lord. It's been a time of growth. We've got 37 people now amongst us and two gentlemen. And I'm really grateful to all you in the church who've shared. It's been a time of blessing for me, because so many people have shared their reflections and prayers and psalms. So we've shared through letters every fortnight. We started the week after the pandemic began at the end of March. We've also shared the message, and I'm really grateful to Chris for that, for his support, especially at the early stages of me in that, and in his encouragement for all of us with that. So we're grateful for that. I'm grateful to all of you as a church family, the pastoral team, and all of you for keeping in touch with everybody by telephone and encouraging the ladies and two gentlemen along the way. And so they're all quite positive. And that's because of you, and most of all because of the Lord. So we're grateful for that. And I think the final thing I wanted to say thank you for today is it's been a second year of some training that I've been doing through Spurgeon's College. The first year, it's called Equipped to Minister, some ministerial training. The first year was based at Histon College or Histon Baptist Church. But the second year has been all online learning. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity that that's offered me, that the Lord has led through and guided, taught us as a group. There's been 25 or six of us who took part in the training. Most people have sort of dipped in and out of it. But there have been four of us that have worked right through from the start to the finish. I'm just coming up to the finishing time now. Three of them finished just before me in the set, because they started in September and I started in the February of 2019. So I'm just really grateful for the Lord, to the Lord, for all the learning, the knowledge and the spiritual growth that's offered to me and to the others in the group. And we've kept in touch by WhatsApp and Zoom during this second year. And I'm just so grateful. I just hope that all the learning, you know, we've gone through lots of modules, preaching, church leadership, leading worship, theology, history of Christianity at the moment, Baptist History and Principles. It's been a great time when I've learnt loads, and I'm just so grateful to the tutors and to everybody else in the group, and for the opportunity. And I just hope that it leads to more where he's placed me in this little church family here in Burwell, to bring glory to him.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you very much. Sally, would you feel able to lead us in a prayer for the reflections, ladies and gents?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Do that. Okay.
And obviously, you know, expand it if you... Yeah.
Dear Lord Jesus, we do just thank you for this time of difference, and all the opportunities that it's offered for growth in our church. But particularly, Lord, I want to lift up to you each and every one of those very precious people, your people, belonging to our church family and to Trinity Church, who belong to Reflections, Lord. Thank you that you have protected them and led them through this special time. Thank you for all the growth that's happened through this time. And I give thanks for the committee ladies and for Kath and for Shona and Chris and people from the church family. They all know who they are, who've supported and worked together on this, Lord. And thank you most of all, Lord, for your leading and guiding through that time, your protection. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sally. Okay. It's James and my time now, so I'll go first and then hand over to James. So, New Year's Eve wasn't quite the New Year's Eve that we'd planned. I think that somehow kind of set the tone for the rest of the year, to be honest. Not just in terms of what I'm about to say, but in terms of the pandemic and everything. So, yeah, New Year's Eve, James and I were all ready to go to family or a friend's party to see the new year in, some friends that go to St Mary's. And we had a phone call from mum's carers. She was still living at home at the time. Your mum's fallen over. So we called the doctor out and he thought she'd got a broken hip. So we took her off to Addenbrookes. This was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We thought, oh, she'll be fine. She'll be settled in a bed. We could still go to Rob and Joe's party. No. We were still sitting in a side ward at Addenbrookes at midnight, and all the nurses and doctors around us, Happy New Year to everybody. And James and I just sat there and went, Happy New Year. And he went, Happy New Year to me. But out of that, I mean, it was horrendous. It really was awful. out of that, Mum stayed in hospital. It became clear that she could no longer look after herself. And as many of you know, lots of you already know this story, a place came up at Queen's Court. She was able to go in there. She went, I think she was, it was around about the 11th of January that she moved into Queen's Court. And the phrase that keeps coming back to me, and I can't remember the where it is in the Bible, but it was just at the right time. You know, when God plans anything, it's always just at the right time. And for us, that was just at the right time, certainly for myself and my sister anyway, and I'm sure James, because he has been absolutely fantastic supporting us through this, and Andy and Becky as well. So, yeah, I just really want to thank God that Mummy's in Queen's Court. She got there just at the right time. And I want to thank him for the way that he's upheld us all throughout this year. James is going to go into a bit more about, you know, the other horrible things that have happened. But a while ago, I had a vision of God inviting us to sit on his lap and to be comforted by him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, it says, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." And I really do feel that this year, that God has certainly carried me through this year, and I've been able to rest in him. And it's not been easy. Even now, it's not you know, the easiest thing that we're going through, but I know that God is going through it with us. So over to you, James, before I start crying. Can anyone hear James?
Yeah.
No. Right. Lean forward. We can't hear you. No. Come down and share my screen.
Weird,
isn't
it? Right.
James.
Hi, right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, right. As we were sort of thinking about today and what to say, this verse sort of came to me. It's rather, well, I think it's unusual, isn't it? It's from 1 Thessalonians. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it was the giving thanks in all circumstances. And this year's been quite different for all of you with COVID and whatever. But I just want to share, I think, one aspect about Mum, really. As you're aware, Mum went into hospital after the first lockdown, and we hadn't seen her, or I hadn't seen her for quite a few weeks. And in the middle of all that, one of Mum's neighbours phoned up one morning and said, oh, we've got a problem with the house. You've got a leak in the roof. And I thought, that's really all I need right at this moment. So I phoned my boss up and said, look, I need to nip up to Leicester, sort the house out. And while I was up there, I was, you know, did a few bits and pieces, and I thought, oh, I'll phone the hospital, see what they say, because normally every time I'd spoken to them, they all said, no, you can't come in, we're in Leicester lockdown, you can't visit, COVID and all that. But just on this one occasion, the nurse said, well, you're fairly close, aren't you? You can have 10 minutes. So I got to the hospital, and when I got there, they warned me that Mum was quite frail. And they took me across to her bed, and she got a nice little spot in the corner. And the nurse pulled the curtain round and said, okay, I'll let you know when your 10 minutes is up. So previous to that, Mum had been quite confused when I used to speak to her on the phone, and you couldn't always make a lot of sense sometimes of what she was saying. But on that day, when I got there, she was totally with it. She knew who I was, and we were able to sit and chat. And then she'd drop off, and I'd hold her hand. She'd wake up, and I'd say, shall I go? She's, oh, no, stay a bit longer. And the 10 minutes, I thought, this is a long 10 minutes. So I thought, oh, well, I'll keep on talking. The nurse came round after about an hour or so, and I said, you want me to go? She said, oh, no, you're all right, just for a few more minutes. And then they said, it's time for her to eat. And I said, do you want me to feed her? And they said, oh, yes, you can feed her, because that sort of gave the nurses a bit of a break. So in the end, I was able to stay for 2 hours and just have a long conversation with her. And I just think that verse about giving thanks in all circumstances. In the morning, it was, oh my goodness, we've got a problem with the house, amongst everything else. What's going to happen? But because of that, I went up and I was able to see Mum. That's it.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, James. We now have the PowerPoint that I mentioned earlier that Chris has put together. An overview of what's happened in the last year, and then after that it's really over to you if anyone has got anything they'd like to share, to pray with us. Yeah, anyway, let's move on. Let's have
sit when I rise. All of my moments, my ways and my words are clearly discerned by your eyes. You have laid your hand upon me, enclosed me behind and before. Who else could ever have knowledge like this, so high and so wonderful? Where can I go from the Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there, you are there. If I go deeper than oceans, will rise on the wings of the morning, will fly to the Father's to rise up. You are there.
So thank you for that, Chris. Thank you for putting that together and reminding us that the things that we've still been able to do as a church, despite not being able to, well, certainly for the last 9 months of the year, be physically together. God is not constrained. I've said this before. God is not constrained by buildings and barriers. And I'm just so thankful to him for the technology that's been developed to allow us to meet in this way. If this had been even 10 years ago, who knows what we've been able to do. Anyway, over to you. If anyone would like to share something or lead us in prayer, please, this is your opportunity now.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind following up a little bit on that. There are times when this Zoom thing just drives me up the wall. But really, knowing what I've sort of gone through this year, not being able to walk very far, not be able to go anywhere unless I'm taken, it really has been a blessing. I wouldn't have been able to go to any meetings unless Pete took me. So Zoom does have its pluses, even if I would far sooner see people in person. That's me.
I've said this to you before, but the term Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I think this year, for lots of many reasons that I won't bore you with this morning, but I think that has really hit home. You know, sometimes we often say Jehovah Jireh and lots of other things, but it is an actual promise, a promise that the Lord will provide and take care of us. And I've certainly experienced that this year. So, yeah, that's good.
Most of you know what I used to do as a kind of ministry. And it seems that I've been prevented from doing what I actually believe that the Lord was wanted me to do since last February. And it seems like I never did it. It seems that all of that has gone. But in its place, the Lord brought me into places where I was able to be part of groups with people, part of prayer groups, which have seen over 2 or 3 years now, amazing answers to prayer. And I thought, when we were prevented from meeting like that, that was the end of another kind of era. But it proved that we remained together in those groups and were able to continue to pray for people, continue to meet together in other ways. And I know from a personal point of view that those people that I've associated with most over the last 9 odd months, that we have grown together into something which is very, very special. It's something that the Lord obviously ordained. He has kept us focused on each other, but also kept us focused on Him and the things that He wanted us to pray for. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for that. Amen.
I wonder if I could share something. I was really struck by, when we were watching the PowerPoint, how much stuff is still going on in church. It's incredible. And I just want to thank Chris for encouraging me to lead Good News Club via Zoom that I'm absolutely petrified of, and I can't even turn it on. I still have to wait for Trevor to come and sort it out, and I don't like him to be out of the room in case something goes wrong. Anyway, we've carried on doing Good News Club. Not all the children join us, but a few do, and so I've still been able to tell them about Jesus, which is just amazing. And we've had some really good times together, and especially last week when we had our last meeting of the year about Christmas, and just so good to be able to tell them, you know, why we have Christmas and why Jesus came to save us. So I'm just really thankful that Good News has continued.
Thanks, Fiona.
Okay, anybody else dying to share something with us?
Well, I get lots of opportunities to share something, but I would like to just say that I am grateful for the way that the church as a whole really has been so open to doing things in new ways. You know, at the beginning, the first recorded service that we did from the church, I think I said in that, you know, bear with us because we're all new to this. And there's been a real sense of bearing with one another and an understanding that, you know, it's not our choice. We're not chosen to go this route. And we've all been on a very steep learning curve. But we, you know, it's not been perfect in so many ways, but there has been love in that bearing with one another. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for all those that have persevered through some a hatred of technology that they have still stuck with. And some have really put in a lot of work, actually given a lot of money in different ways to keep things running. You know, it's all a sign of people's commitment to the Lord and love for one another. So thank you all. And not just because it's good for me, but I would like to say thanks to Lynn, who often does a lot of the work behind the scenes to enable me to do stuff. So really grateful to her and on a personal level. So grateful that I haven't been locked down on my own, but have had her by my side. So thanks to God for that.
Yeah, I'd just like to add thanks to that to Chris and Lynn for their leading of the fellowship, for the leadership team, for the tough decisions that you've had to make, for everybody and anyone who's taken part in any of the online services, despite our hatred of the technology. For people who lead the services, for people who contributed with prayers, with Bible readings, with sharing their testimonies. And for Andy, for stitching it all together every week. Even when he moved, he insisted he wanted to do it. So, yeah. Despite us trying to say, well, I'm sure there's somebody else that will do it for you. No, he says, I want to do it. So, yeah. So thanks to everyone. And yeah, thanks to God for without him, who knows where we'd all be. So let's unless anyone else has got anything to say, shall we move into a time of worship now? I'll just give you a moment or two if you do want to pipe up. Okay, let's move now into a time of worship. Three worship songs that you can join along to sing with. The second one I don't think is very familiar with us to us, but it's pretty easy to pick up. But the other two you will know. Okay, thanks, Andy. This morning's reading, before Chris brings us the message, it's 1 Corinthians 10. Verses 16 to 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Even in a short passage like that, I managed to mess it up. Never mind. Let's just pray for Chris before he brings the message to us this morning. Oh, Lord God, we are so grateful to you for bringing Chris and Lynn to us. And we thank you for the leading and for the words that you've given to Chris to bring us this morning. Lord, open up our eyes, our ears and our hearts to hear you speak to us. Amen.
Thanks, Karen. So wonderful passage, isn't it? And it just focuses both on Thanksgiving and on communion. Paul originally wrote it to the Corinthian church, who were asking about meat sacrificed to idols. For them, that was a big issue. Most of the meat in the Gentile meat market was from sacrifices in the pagan temples. There were vast amounts of meat from that source because the whole animal was rarely burnt. So what was left over was sold by the temples to raise money. It wasn't labelled, so there was no way of knowing whether it was meat that had been offered to an idol or was not. The Christians wondered if this was a spiritual problem. Today we might think about halal meat, which has been slaughtered with Islamic prayers. Paul answers is that the pagan gods don't exist, but there are evil spirits which work through idolatry. So if you're unaware that the meat has been sacrificed to an idol, there's no danger for the Christian in eating it. If, however, you're told that the meat's been offered to a false god, you shouldn't eat it, not because it would do you any harm, but it may harm the person that's serving you. It may give the impression that you're joining with them in their worship. That would be to participate in the worship of an idol. He uses the example of communion to clarify how that might be a problem. Communion, as I know you'll remember, has its roots in the Passover meal, the meal commemorating the moment God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. Jesus took two items from that meal to reveal how they pointed to him: the bread which was broken at the start of the meal, and the last of the seven cups which was poured out. Each cup he gave a special significance. The last cup was the cup of thanksgiving. And that's the one where we read that at the end of the meal he took the cup. It was this cup that Jesus took and said that it represented his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So the cup of wine we drink during the Lord's Supper is not only a memorial of what Jesus did, but also a participation in the blood of Christ. When we give thanks for Jesus' death on our behalf, we admit that he died for us and that our sins led to his death. When we break the bread, we acknowledge that his body was broken to reconcile each of us to each other and to God. In these actions, we're worshipping God. And it strikes me that there's something quite significant that Paul's saying here about the God to whom we give thanks is the God we worship. When we give thanks for our meal, when we say grace together, we are worshipping God. And when we give thanks for anything in our lives, we're worshipping God. So thanksgiving and worship are closely linked. So in the same way, says Paul, if we knowingly enter into a symbolic thanksgiving to an idol, then we do give the impression that we are participating in the worship of that idol. For this reason, we should decline if we're offered food, which we're told has been offered to an idol. But we shouldn't be concerned if we've not been informed. Three things from this that I'm going to try and apply for us today. First, we don't need to be concerned that we may be spiritually compromised by eating meat which is halal. Our concern should be to avoid knowingly participating in the worship of a false god, leading others into sin. Of course, you may have legitimate concerns about animal welfare and funding for Muslim clerics, but that's another matter. Secondly, we're united because the bread we break represents the same person, Jesus Christ. We have our own bread, but we're all giving thanks for the one broken body of Jesus. We're therefore united by his Holy Spirit. We all feed on one spiritual bread, the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. Likewise, each of us have our own cup, but we all recognize that it symbolizes the blood of Christ shed for us individually and for each other. We're united not by drinking from the same cup or eating from the same plate, but by worshipping the same Lord. And thirdly, when we eat and drink, we give thanks. As we gather today, we may have lots to grumble about, But when we remember again the death of Jesus Christ, we can only have thanksgiving for the life he's opened for us and for the body into which he's united us. So I'd like to give thanks in a prayer, and then we'll move into our communion together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank and praise you that you, for love of us, laid down your life. And we thank you that you gave us this gift of communion, the Lord's Supper. We thank you that you gave simple symbols that are within the reach of ordinary people. Thank you that you gave us something physical to remember you by. And that Paul revealed that it's more than just remembering you. It's taking hold of what you've done for us, taking hold of it one more time. And in giving thanks, we give acceptable worship to you. So we give thanks for this meal and this communion with one another. And we do so through Jesus Christ, to the glory of the Father, by the Spirit. Amen. So what started off as a novel experience for us has now become rather familiar, but I'll say again that this isn't virtual communion, it is real communion. There's no mediator between us and God but Jesus Christ. The point of communion is to remember Jesus in the way that he commanded us. And the Spirit isn't limited by social distancing or indeed by technology. He can be fully present with us each where we are. And although we're scattered in our homes, we are united in the body of Christ. So come and share in the feast of the Lord, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because of any goodness of your own that gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body.
The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're going to sing a song together now. I tried to choose one that sort of brought Thanksgiving, Christmas and Easter all in one word and all in one song, and I thought this one fitted the bill. Thanks, Andy.
So a prayer of thanksgiving as we move to share communion. Loving God, we praise and thank you for the love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power by lifting up the downtrodden and healing the sick and loving the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall all share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and symbols of your transforming love. Send, Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. So So we're going to invite you to respond in the sections that are marked for all, and Andy, well, perhaps Lynn will share it from Andy's shared screen. So thanks, Lynn. So if you have your bread there ready, perhaps you will hold up your bread. Good for us to share together in that act of just acknowledging the symbol that God has given to us. So we break the bread with these words of Jesus. This
is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.
We break the bread. The body of Jesus was broken for me.
The body of Jesus was broken for me.
So we lift up a cup. We hold up the cup with these words. In the same way,
he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me.
The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
And we drink together.
I'm going to fly downstairs.
Thank you. I have on my list now, it says song, but I'm not quite sure if there is a song at this point, if we're just going to go straight into prayers. Yeah, so I think the shake of head from Karen means that we're going to offer an opportunity to pray now, both for those that you know that are in need, but also to give thanks for that opportunity to share together once again. So that's an open time, so if you want to unmute yourself, do remember to unmute yourself before you pray so we can hear you. So I open it up and we'll close it a little later on, so thank you. Lord, I do particularly pray for those that are reminded of those that are not with them this Christmas and those that are mourning. We pray that you would comfort them. We think of those for whom this is the first Christmas without their loved one. And Lord, we pray that you would bind up the brokenhearted. We thank you, Lord, for those occasions where we know that that person is now safe with you. And we pray particular comfort for those who don't know. And we just release those fears into your hands. Amen.
God, we thank you for your amazing faithfulness shown to us through Jesus. Lord, as we've reflected on just the amazing ways that you have been faithful to us this year, we can't help but just think that this is the ultimate way that you were faithful to us, by sending your son to die for us on that cross. And we know, Lord, that we're between the two Advents, between your coming and between your coming again. And we say to you, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, and we just, words, Lord, sometimes just fail me as I reflect on your amazing goodness to me and to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And so, Lord, we lift before you our prayers, spoken and unspoken. We thank you that at this table we've been able to lay before you those that are unwell in heart, in mind, in spirit. And we believe that you are the God who heals today. So reach out your hand to heal and to deliver. Do this for your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen.
So we're going to close today's service in a similar way to the way that we opened it, with a good old-fashioned traditional hymn. But before we do close, I'd just like to remind you that we've got the after-service Zoom at 12. It's getting a bit close to 12 now, actually. So join whenever you can, once you've had a, as James would say, a fluid adjustment break.
Karen, could I just butt in and say we haven't got a link because they said there was no chat room today.
All right.
There is, and the link's the same as it's been every other week. I'll put it on Facebook.
All right. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I hadn't picked up on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So yeah, let's close with the final hymn. Now thank we all our God.
Thanks, Karen. And I now realise why it said that there was no post-service chat, because we did say that after communion services, where we'd done live communion together, we wouldn't have a post-service chat. So, as usual, Pete and Kath are right, and the notice sheet was correct. There wasn't intended to be a post-service chat. Of course, if you want to gather together after the service, then you're most welcome to do that. I perhaps will be there a little late myself. But if you want to do that, that will be fine. Thanks, Karen. Sorry for going along with a confusion that I probably caused myself. So.
Thanks, Chris. Let's just finish with a blessing. As it's the end of the year, and we're looking forward to hopefully a better 2021, let's just take this through to the new year with us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.